Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now entering the TGTC.
You ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008. What the fuck do I know?
Drawing hands is my kryptonite.
Loading up elbow logos.
Yeah, for the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and uncommon perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show. Welcome back. What's going on, everybody? How you guys doing?
Yay.
Welcome to 2022.
I know. Stranger town.
Yeah. New Year's in March, man.
Yeah,
in case listeners noticed that Jordan's voice is a little bit different this episode specifically, yes. It's because he's at a different new location.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. We recently bought a house, our first house, and I'm in an empty room, so you probably hear the emptiness of my surroundings.
Buying a first house is not a small deal.
No.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but like, holy shit, it goes fast. Like, totally. There wasn't any time to like, hey, you need to make this decision in an hour. It's like, sure. This is my life's everything, and you need this decision in an hour. I was surprised like how quick it ended up being. Like, we looked at this place and got it like 2 weeks, or a week and a half later.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you noticed people were saying lenders, brokers, with respect to the pandemic and what to expect about the pace altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I have no other reference, so it's hard.
Yeah.
And we were lucky because our good friend, his wife, who's also our good friend, was a realtor. So, like, she was super available. And
knows
just the
ins
like,
and outs of.
Yeah. And the kind of realtor is like, actually, you probably don't want this place, and here's reasons versus like,
oh, wonderful.
Take it, buy now, blah, blah, blah.
Isn't that great? That's so good.
Yeah, the process was pretty nice. And we made an offer on one house that fell through, which I hear is like common. And then everyone's like, you wait for the next one, it's the one. And that's kind of what happened for us. So we're thankful. But it's nice. Yeah, we're pumped.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for you. You can use friend connections for home buying. I have heard of horror stories in that realm, but I admit we purchased our home from a client of mine.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's great.
I might say that I felt obligated to use them.
Yeah.
But it turned out to be great.
And so I bought mine from the one that was on the bus stop banner.
Did you?
the local realtor that said he was the pro of the area, and he was. So it was great.
So wow.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, and connections happen in all ways, and that's awesome.
It's really true. But you know, I love how you put it though. It's the time period could be a long time, but when it comes to you having to do something, it's like, I need it right now, Jordan. right?
Because like window shopping and just like on Redfin or whatever, like that's fine, slow pace and just dreaming. But then it's like, okay, if we want to put an offer in, it's like fucking gung ho. It's like everything. And you know, in Oregon, it's like you can't do the love letters. Like you can't. I think when I was in California, you could write like a nice letter and send the seller basket and all this stuff, and can't do that here. So it's like really just paperwork specific. We get it done in, you know, a week and a half.
Cut out the chit chat. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. And we're just now, man, we've been in here since pretty much the 1st of January, and we're just now feeling like maybe it's our house. Like, if you feel that weird grace period,
we've rented transition period's weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And now we're sitting here, I'm like, you know what? I can fucking take that wall out if I want to. I can do anything I want.
Exactly. No rules. It's yours now, right?
Yeah. Good.
So, best question, how many times a day are you at Home Depot?
Dude, man, in the beginning, we pretty much first name basis.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, there's Jordan again. Hey, Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah. Third time today. Oh, okay.
He's
all
the,
right.
He's the newbie.
He's learning. Yeah.
That is so good. Funny. My best advice is whatever from the Home Depot stuff is to you 6 months after buying something, you're going to be like, where the heck are those screws I already bought? I don't want to make another trip just for them. Like, organize yourself with that stuff as best as possible, man. Like, those little – when you see those people on TV that are, like, overly, like, crazy organized with the stuff around the house, God, I wish I was that good. But, like, it's the best tip. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. How's everybody doing business-wise, you know – now we're March. Oh my God, this is crazy.
It's crazy.
We just did our New Year's thing. Like, isn't that nuts?
I know, dude.
How's everything going?
Well,
it's going well. But we're upon tax season, which I fucking hate.
I know. I haven't done mine yet.
Same here. I know.
I hate it.
No, honestly, you know, I think that I pretty much the reason maybe why we're doing this topic today is like, this is where I'm kind of at. It's just like, it's very busy and almost on that border of like, you know, with everything else going on, just like trying to manage all the stuff.
Sure.
So it's kind of in that hectic but functional world currently.
Yep. Mikkel? You
know, lots of projects starting to unearth.
About the same there, Mikkel?
Yes. There's the juggle factor going on for sure. I try to utilize support as much as I can when things start to really feel hectic. But you know what I learned, to be totally transparent, is that with, you know, the summary statements that are coming back for tax filing.
Yeah.
I didn't make amazing money compared to last year, having utilized a ton more support team members this go, which is interesting. I wanted to see how that would roll.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe next year we'll post something different, but I will say, and maybe this is beneficial to hear for working moms, working dads, stay-at-home dads, stay-at-home moms that are working the juggle more specifically hardcore since the pandemic, which is a good 3 freaking years now.
Yeah.
That it's not a wash, but it works with respect to affording more time with your family, making it out for school pickup, drop-off, extracurricular activities. Yeah. I'm a part of those
the reality
activities
came back,
more
right?
now. And because I can rely on support, maybe it's not exceedingly more income, but it's okay with respect to quality of life.
Wealth is not just money. Wealth is not just money.
And you're working less and getting paid the same. So that's a raise, right? Like you're.
Yes. Meaning you don't see it in dollar signs. Mm-hmm. Like in what you hope. But quality of life wise, family, time, all that. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the dream, right? I think we're all kind of, at least for me in my freelance journey, like I'd love to get to that point where like you can just focus on a few things.
Yeah.
Right. Kind of have this machine that rolls and you're working a little less without necessarily just like losing out on, you know, your hour or whatever your income is.
Yeah.
Like, that's sort of the angle, or at least like a nice step. So that's cool. I mean, I think that sounds awesome.
Yeah, we'll just
because that's you got back something that I think could be a tribute you can look at as wealth in a way. Like it's not just the money part that you can actually deposit, but it's the time you're getting to spend with family, with just or break time or off time from the computer and the screen.
Yeah,
that's
you're totally right. You guys
too.
Are totally right. It's not the first thing that I
that's
calculated myself because money speaks so much.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right. And yeah, not working the grind nights and stuff the way that I had been
100%
years ago.
Yeah.
Staying on that topic, did you guys see less reported work or income because of last year in any way? Like more clients that did not W-9 you?
That's a good question, actually. I still have some coming in.
That too.
Me too. And I'm still inquiring from others when
if that's going to happen, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But I've got a few that I think it was a sign of the times that there were a lot of young, new companies that we did some quick work for last year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they were experienced business enough to know to send for a W-9.
Yeah.
And now I'm not getting a 1099. So
That's
I'm just curious if a lot of people maybe in our positions saw the same thing. you know?
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I think there's like a number. Every year there's always clients who don't send it to me.
Exactly.
Right? Like you still have to claim it, but like, yeah. And especially if it's like, it was January, February of 2021, like it's just,
yes.
Who, you know, that was so long ago and maybe it was one project. Like they're probably not even going to consider
it. Yeah. Oh, and then a few came out of the woodwork. So I was like, who are you? And are you sure I did some work for
Same.
You?
I was like, I don't even know these people. I was like, holy shit, I did do something for them. Like,
cause they went by some LLC. 2 weeks
in like, yeah, February of last year. Like, oh my God.
it's just always the, this is that time where you just, and I stare at that damn stack there and I'm pretty much done and I just have to turn it over. But I am just not looking forward to it. I never do. It's always that worst timing of the year. And it's like, but I totally understand. And again, it's a good spot to be in, you know, considering everything, but, let's get into the topic, but, Jordan, we were like fishing around for like some fun ideas to talk about. Tell us a little bit what got you thinking and introduce the topic that we want to kind of talk about today.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just I'm living it right now, man. I'm in the middle, neck deep, and sort of like the juggling of multiple projects, right? Because we were trying to spitball just some like, what do you want to catch up on? What are you talking about? And this is just something I'm like facing right now. And I think a lot of it is like, and I think freelancers are probably going to feel this a little bit too, because it feels like people are starting to transition into normality of some sort or trying to get back to it even more this year. And so like projects are kind of like happening. I'm seeing more and more like, you know, we're trying to plan something for summer. Like let's get stuff going now. And so I think like maybe that compounded just with like COVID kind of taking a little bit of an ease. I think there's just a lot more work out there maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just kind of find myself in like juggling multiple clients, multiple projects at the same time, which is normal. Like, I think that's just a skill that all freelancers kind of have to get into and get okay with, right?
For
like
sure.
Being able to like organize and manage your time. But there's so much there. And I know, and I love hearing, you know, processes. I'm sure you guys have your own. Every freelancer kind of has their own. Like, how do you make it work? How do you keep your sanity? Or do you? Because for me, like, there's plenty of times where, like, I'm just doing the night work. So, like, I'm just going way too hard, right? And you need to, like, take that break. And so through that, I still found tools to keep my organization, you know, to still not let the work itself suffer. But yeah, I think like, you know, opening that up and maybe digging into like how we kind of make it work, but maybe if we have any tips, secrets, things that like we've learned, you know, maybe stories of how we got burned or, you know, how do you just keep it going? Because that's the perils of the freelance. I think that's a big one.
Yeah. Do you guys think it happens by, like, I'm almost... I was trying to think about why you get into that situation in the first place where it's overwhelmingly crazy. And I wonder if I can look back at the last year and say it pretty much came out of just complete random coincidence. Like it wasn't like I was out there fishing and saying like, come on, everybody work with me. And then all of a sudden everyone said yes. And I was like, whoa, it was my doing. It was just like planets align. What do you guys think? It's kind of same deal.
Yes, for me, I would say that that's the case.
Just the way it happens, right?
Which kind of is shocking over time to recognize every now and again.
Yeah. Yeah, there isn't like planning for it. Like, and sometimes you think it is seasonally and it is sometimes, but like other times, like last year got bumping at like, you know, the dead of winter when nothing was happening. Like, why? You just can't plan for it.
Yeah.
You can try to like manage it, I guess. And that's kind of like the meat of like, how do we do that? You know, other than like, you know, I think a part of it is just learning to say no. That's something I still like am trying to get better at often. I'm good at like projects I don't want to do, not doing, but like ones I do that maybe have like a good budget, like it sucks saying no. Like it totally sucks. Yeah. And they can't push it back or something, you know? It's like, all right, I can work 3 weekends in a row and get this done and like, you know, I don't know. So I struggle with that a bit, the learning to like say no and be okay with that.
Yeah. Oh, and then let's say it's pretty dry at the moment and then something comes up and you're like, absolutely. But then all current clients maybe come back with something or ignite something that maybe was on pause or something. And those are those moments where I think it really does get to a point where you're like, oh my gosh, like I have to like stop and analyze this a little bit, because typically I could pretty much go on a flow without doing too much of the organization and maybe the stuff we're going to talk about right now and feel pretty smooth. But boy, the minute, like I'd say it happened around beginning of like February, where it went from one day going, whew, I think I'm in the clear for a day or two. I could walk away from my desk. And then it was the next day, it was like everything just came into the inbox. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mm-hmm. my God. And to the point where I think I probably mentioned it to three or four people. I'm like, I think I've bit off more than I can chew. Like, what did I?
Yeah, I think I remember talking about this. I know that feeling. That's so well. Hard. It's the yep. worst, right? Because then you're just, again, the work will end up suffering if you just like totally flatlined. And just
yes.
Not. And the other part of this all is like, as a creative, at least for me, sometimes it's hard to like be in a project while having other ones in the back of my head. And then
yes.
transitioning through them maybe multiple times a day, which I try not to do. And we can talk about like, how do you structure that? But like, yeah, when you have four projects, which is typical, right? Like, let's say you have four projects at the same time that are kind of just perpetually going, you know, do you dedicate days to them or do you juggle them as necessary?
Oh, sure.
You know, because if you were designing or illustrating or something where you're in the, you know, getting in the zone, it's so hard to just jump over to something else and try to get back to that place. So it's like, that's how do you organize that, right? Alongside just everything else, still making the clients feel like they're you're number one and they're always hurt.
any crazy horror stories that like you could think of in the past that have been like where you dropped the ball? Like, let's just be honest. Like,
yes. Yeah. Especially kicking off in freelance. Like, I was saying yes to everything and mm-hmm. falling behind on stuff. And like, yeah, I've had one client drop me years ago just because it was taking way too long.
Yeah. Wow. That's hard to swallow. How did you deal with that?
I think that's probably more commonplace for young designers than not. Like, for me, I think everything kind of boils down to like two things as a freelancer. Like, one is your process, right? Your business, running it, mm-hmm. all that things. But the second one is like, you have to know your time. Like, you have to understand and be able to calculate, like, how long does something take you? And if you can't do that, then it's, I think, always going to be a problem, right? Like, if you mm-hmm. can't answer, like, how long does it take you to design a beer label? Start to finish, kick off to files in the client's hand. Like, if you don't have a gauge, it's going to be a fucking struggle. Mm-hmm. Then you're guessing, right? And so I think for me, it's like there's so much to unpack with just like, you need to understand how long this stuff takes, right?
Yeah.
Your kickoff, your proposals, explorations, building decks, pitch decks, actually designing, you know, exploration designing, like, you know, file prepping, send off. That's all part of like, design me a logo.
Yeah.
So I think experience helps. Like, once I got my time down, that helped a ton. That was like biggest, but that took about a year, you know, mm-hmm. of like figuring out all those, you know, anomalies and things that change. And I think if any new designer is in like jumping into freelance, spend a year and actually log your time for everything. Just get a for time sure. tracker.
How else do you know?
You don't. It's all guessing, right? And like there's always so many questions, you know, when you're starting off. And honestly, it's just the difference is seasoned designers just know how long this stuff takes. Therefore, they know how much it's worth.
Yeah.
Like
all
these things kind of come back to that.
Mm-hmm. Any times where you did that, Mikhail, where you dropped the ball, was there anything like crazy ramifications or something? I mean, losing a client out over it, like...
Not to that degree. Yeah, not to that degree. But I have had circumstances where I've had to send a follow-up more than three times and saying, appreciate your patience.
Totally.
Ooh, good one.
And I have learned to stop making excuses or make a little white lies just so that people know that I'm totally on top of it. I'll be totally transparent.
Yeah, good idea.
And I know better now, this day and age, to not blame the pandemic. Nobody wants to hear that shit. Nobody wants to hear that shit. As much as it may apply, I'm having the huge slowdown for paper stock samples that I need to run for an international client. I'm not going to even mention that word in an email. I won't.
Yeah.
I just mention when the ETA is expected at this time, and then send another update so that they know that I'm on it and the communication.
Well, you're squeezing or pushing the brake on the whole, just the chain of command going like that excuse following. It stopped with you. And I think that's a great way to think about how you're being honest with it, but it's not again. You've stopped it and it's tracked. It's like that trend can't continue.
It's
right.
always a red flag if I think about explaining a matter in that manner. What about you, Nick?
Mm-hmm. Very similar to what you said, Jordan. One of the first things in the first or second year that I was doing this, I did take a project on that I was not thoroughly interested in and that you said yes to it, right? And it wasn't even in the scope of work that I think I could do the best at the time. And I thought I was doing just fine, holding them off, it's coming, blah, blah, blah. Wasn't in good protocols at all. And I'll never forget, I just got an email that was just like, yeah, we've looked at this situation and we're no longer in need of your services. And it was a hit. It was, I think, again, like we say so many times, you got to be burned in a way to know how to react and change and make a difference later. And that really did stick with me. To this day, I can still remember that feeling. And you're like,
yeah, because they didn't get a slice for what you can deliver even. It was about time. Yeah.
Oh, and I knew it was like, that was, you have to say like, wow, that was 100% me. I can't blame anybody but me for doing a bad job at keeping them posted, not checking in, not doing those checkups and those updates the way I should have been. And I think to your point, like you were saying, Jordan, where you took analysis of those first few years and wrote down how long it took you. What I did was I made more of those, what made me feel like shit? What did I do that was so terrible?
Yeah.
And don't do it again. And so it was like having a list of those things that I will never do again. How I do it changes every time, right? Like I think you brought up a great one, Michaela, because you were just saying like, you're just gonna be truthful with it. And again, that's what I've learned too. Like, don't make up that tiny little thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, don't make up anything. Just tell them when the new ETA is, not a reason for, but just that. And yeah. So I found great ways to kind of be more honest. And it feels like, but then more or less try not to get into those situations anymore. But, but now I'd say when it's getting to this part where it's, I've said yes too much or things come back on and it was beyond my control that there's so much going on. That's where I'm borderline. I could drop the ball any moment. And that's why I'm like, what can we do to kind of get better at this stuff? Right. Like, what are the things that we could say that will save the day? Or is it the email? Or is what, how do we get back on track with this? So when you're in the middle of this zone, what can you do? Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think this first section we wanted to kind of maybe even tackle and we can all talk about is just organization and basically
project managing,
right?
Yeah,
your project managing.
So what are the tools that you guys use? Like, what's worked?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a fan of. I don't. Oh, I think Michael,
did you use Trello? Or are you still using Trello?
You guys, at this point, I'm on Teamwork, Trello, Asana, and UpClick.
Everything.
Yeah. You need a project managing tool for your project
manager. For your project management.
I mean, sometimes I come down here in the morning and go, what the f? This is insane. All these desktop apps and wikis with notifications flying, oftentimes because East Coast clients are pinging beginning at 5 a.m. our time. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a little insane, but the nerd in me still appreciates it more than email.
I get that. Like where I use it for some clients, particularly Slack, you and Wes brought it up over 5 years ago. And I remember going like, nope, never going to do it. You will never, I will not be a slave to one more thing that's going to give me a notification. But oh my gosh. And I have this conversation with people who don't use it now and are now getting into it because of working from home more or less. Mm-hmm. And isn't it great? You're right. Over email, there's a different mentality with it. It's get her done, walk away. But it can open the floodgates too. I think it has.
It's just so crucial. It's relative to teams based on client that the platform is distinct to. And I don't mind that. And they are grouped and categorized in different ways. I love having the priority level. I love having the due dates recorded. I love having the status of the sub project.
That's great.
It's really, really essential. It's really essential.
And it's so, it's
but you know what Wes would say? He would say that he would invite his clients to the platform to be a part of that process. I will not do that.
No. Until they do, I think it makes sense. Like, and what's interesting is I'm even using the first version of it that came out for, we've had it for school for many, many years. I've just never used it. And now we're using it because of the last 2 years. But even now that we're going back to class, I'm still using the service that they give us that is very much like a Slack and Basecamp for the class. It's wonderful. It's like, I'm like, where were you all my life? Like, this is, it's made life totally so understand. Easy. And so, and I think when you have that, you know, 15 plus people on a team or part of a project, yes, something like this is going to be needed, you know, 100%.
Jordan, what do you use? What do you use?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, and I think Nick kind of touched on that, like, solo is so different than team. So like when I do contract work with agencies, like I get to plug in their system and like makes sense. This stuff works super well. For me personally, like I've always just, I still live in the dark ages of like, I have my pen and paper, my calendar app, my post-its, and then I Slack really heavily. Like I try to get all my clients into some workspace for Slack just because I hate having to try to remember what we talked about and try to find an email. And
how many workspaces do you have right now?
Currently I have about a dozen.
Wow. Oh my God, Jordan, that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, also like one of those is this, another one is like our designer Slack buddy group. And then another one is like some buddies. So like I have like, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Dude.
And, but a lot of
you're amazing.
Yeah, thanks. It's
some Slack. If you're like, listening, Jordan's the perfect person for your new commercial.
It's just I try to get clients out of email as much as possible. It's just easier to find stuff and send stuff. Sometimes it's hard. Like, you know, a couple of those, like, we rarely use it because the clients are like brewers who like can't be bothered. And they still go back to old habits of texting or emails. I'm like, just please put it in Slack so I can find it later.
It but makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. I have yet to make that transition with the clients yet to say go in there. And I think you're showing a really good side of that because let's all agree it's what it does is it takes out that email tendencies of just it's the, you know, when it can be just shot so fast and boom 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 and so much more efficient, right?
Yeah, and the threads get out of hand in email. Yeah, it's like shit. If we all there's 8 of us in this project, you know, and like their whole team, like it's just not going to work. You know, I can't deal with. And I still use Apple as my email client, which is terrible because it's the worst search function.
I know it is.
It's the worst. Like it just stuff doesn't come up. I don't understand.
I know. It's so bizarre. What do you use though? Even just for your own organization of you and the timelines and everything else. Obviously, yes, you can pop on that channel to see when a due date is, but for your just life and business and everything at that desk, any tools or tricks?
Again, you know, post-its. Yes, I have all my notebooks. I sketch everything in my post-its for the day. Yeah. I usually do a to-do list, just write it down. But calendar app is like my it's my guy. Like that's what I get to. That's got it's not that great. It's like kind of shitty. But it's just I just know it so well.
I gotcha. Yeah.
And I have like a weird, like just learning a new, I tried doing Trello and I tried doing so many of these. The problem there's I so found
many
is like,
there are too many to choose from.
Too many to choose from. And like, none of them felt like great for just solo freelancer. Like they're so geared towards groups that the features are just too broad. And it's like, I can't, it's too much. Like it's like
intimidating
learning a new program
at a certain point. And you're like, I am not, like, you're almost like that's a whole other part-time job. If I go full blown on one of those apps for just my own business. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mikkel, do you use any of those for your own stuff or are you more like simple? Are you still using Trello for just yourself or no?
No. It is particularly beneficial and useful because of all the team members.
Gotcha.
And collaborations.
Yeah.
But for developers, it's UpClick. For Trello, it's designers. Mm-hmm. For teamwork, it's a agency out in Grand Rapids specifically for them. It's so it is based upon both project and client and collaboration type.
That's good. Yeah. I, you know what I've been doing is I saw someone who did a fantastic tutorial on how they use just Apple Notes and how they do folders and then within those folders, subfolders. And then, so I'm basically building folders for every client in there. And what I love about it is the continuity and wherever you pull up notes, it's there. And I think someone even described it as, like, it is just the same way you would use one of these things like Trello or Basecamp or something for your own thing. But it's the stripped down. It's all you need. You mm-hmm. can put in a sketch. You could put in a file, all those little things. And,
yeah.
and I got to admit, and it's open all the time. I can look at it and I can see everything really quickly. And it's just my own little nirvana of
That's
like
cool.
project management, right?
That's dead on. I love the Notes app. I yeah. use it. That's my,
have you guys
that's my,
ever
like,
heard
list.
Of Sketch?
I think so.
With Evernote?
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
So it removes all of the screen grabs that you prepare.
That's right.
And it removes all of the files and archives of imagery that save to your local system, as well as those that you
yes.
exchange back and forth with mm-hmm. clientele, team members, and otherwise. And it just provides a share URL.
That's pretty cool.
To view in the web browser.
Yeah, that's tight.
I think
I'm
even
telling
like
you,
paper on Dropbox does the same, is very much the
same
thing.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's really neat that they did that. And I think what Adobe showed last year, they've got their version of it hopefully coming out with the idea of whiteboarding and that
oh, cool.
virtual whiteboarding. And
cool.
So to me, I think that would be a really neat thing to throw into the mix too, to be a little bit more organized with stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I think, too, I could probably still be a lot better, even though I finally got the notes thing down. I would just say, like, when it really does come to those moments where, again, it's like everybody knocking on your door. And it's like you're almost yeah. – my tagline is, like, I'm only working on the thing someone's screaming at me about. Like, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Like, when you're there – now, how do you prioritize?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you looked at that – your log for the day and you're like, okay, where do I even begin? What are your tools in prioritizing? Is it just, you know, what's screaming the most? What's due faster? What can you do in 5 seconds? You know?
Yeah. Well, man, I've learned that at night I'll make my to-do list for the next day. One, mm-hmm. it helps me go to fucking sleep real quick.
you don't even need the melatonin.
Like, I have the plan. Yeah, exactly. You don't need your melatonin. Like, and you just spend a little time and just like I'll quickly just like jot down, okay, these are the major things I have to hit.
Yes.
And then sometimes like even if I'm like, you know, just a little energy at night, like maybe I'll just draft up a couple of emails I know how to get first thing.
Good.
That'll let me chill. But yeah, I mean, honestly, it all comes back to like my calendar of like when projects,
yeah.
you know, I rarely have things start the exact same day and end the same day, but trying to juggle like
do
that's
you
knowing
guys
your time.
Send each other, do you guys send yourselves
all the time.
In calendar reminders and invites and stuff so that you have a fresh
yes.
reminder in the each morning.
All the time.
And then yeah. do you keep editing it and pushing it next couple hours, next couple hours, next couple hours, next
yeah.
day, next
yeah.
morning?
I got to say, I'm pretty good. I think the things I hold for that I do maybe later in the evening before a day like that, I'm pretty good at like even this morning, it was like sending two bills out, something else I had to order for the office and all these little things, or it, particularly when it's like asking for money. Oh, I never forget that. Like
I'm fucking terrible at that, dude. I'm like, the opposite. It sucks.
Open up FreshBooks yeah. and get something out there. Like I am yeah. like, I will, that part to me is good. But like, what I like to do is I do it through like, hey Siri, remind me. And what I like about that is I'll do it when I'm just thinking about it. And chances are I can say those two words and anywhere in this house and it's going to pick up my message somewhere. And that works. And then I do it for like really early in the morning. I'll do it for like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Just so it is that, and like you said, Jordan, it's that peace of mind that lets you fall
totally.
Asleep because you know you're covered.
Yeah.
Or I'll open a big sticky on my window, on my computer, and I'll have the 3 or 4 things due immediately in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that way, when I wake up the computer, it's
that's
the first
a good
thing
idea.
I see. Yeah.
That's a good, yeah. So
that's a good idea.
It's just creating that game plan, which has helped mm-hmm. me a ton. But, you know, it never goes according to plan. Like, there's always like, I'll get a ping, like, hey, I need that thing. Actually, it's a hot issue. We need it now. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
But at least I have a list where, like, I know how long all the these things take. So it's like, I know
sure.
if I had to push something back, where to prioritize.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, the struggle is just like, you know, I would love a day for like admin days. I have friends that's like, yeah, Mondays, I don't
yeah.
actually do creative work and I'm just emailing and getting my bills in order and all this stuff. Like, that's cool. I haven't figured out how to make that work yet.
Or chunks of the day. I
yeah.
know some people
usually
that
my
do
mornings
that.
Are admin. Like, I'll, you know, email
yeah.
this first thing, just like hanging out and just before I even get my head and like you know, once you start designing or illustrating or anything in the zone, I fucking hate having to break to jump on a Slack call or like a meeting or like touch an email. Like that sucks. It's such a killer. So like trying to find those designated pockets has been my goal, trying to get better of like, I'm blocking this, like my time blocks, which I haven't, you know, it's hard because freelance, like you're the only person, you know? So it's not like, hey, DM my CD or my project manager about that. Like it's not, you are disrupted all day, every day. So I think like, yeah, blocks are a big one that I'm getting better at, but stuff I want to work on more.
Yeah.
It's
like, yeah. Me too. Me too.
What if two projects are equally as hot out of the blue, Jordan,
it's like
need
a gun
this,
to head. Like what happens if like, you have to let one
okay. Drop? So it's like picking your you know, your favorite kid here. Like what, how do you do it? What do you, what would
don't
you do?
Don't you guys need to base it on what you know you can hold off longer? What is more your niche area that you like can who, crank?
Yeah. Like, who did you have a better conversation
with?
Yeah.
Yeah. What client did you have a more friendly conversation with?
Or that counts.
Yeah.
That
or did I do a favor for one of them recently or did
because
I get something out on? Yeah.
Then it has ramifications on how excited you are to hit the canvas board with it.
Yes.
I totally understand what you mean.
Yeah.
But now that we've been doing this for so long, you can gauge.
Yes.
How late in advance you can kick something off.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
While the quiet quality doesn't take a hit noticeably.
Yeah. And just, and also, you know, again, knowing your time, it's like when you start on projects, like budget in as many extra days as you can just for those times.
Yes.
Like, it's never exact.
No.
There's always going
to
be.
You have to buffer. You have to.
And a lot of it is also like usually client just takes sometimes longer to get feedback or all these things where it's like, that, you know, one day delay feedback changes everything else.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to try to pad that in. But do you guys jump from like if you it's your Tuesday and you have maybe your list, like you guys jump creatively from like project to project, just chipping stuff down? Or do you try to like, I know designers, I'm not one of them, but I'd like to be, where like this is my day for this, you know?
And one like, one client project per day.
Yeah. I guess for bigger
stuff. I couldn't.
Stuff, yeah. I don't know how you do that, but.
No.
There are people, maybe it's like they work like less retainers, maybe they have like four or five.
Yeah,
or if it's if your projects are more in a routine base or something that you can plan on, like mine never, and they never stick to the timeline that's in our contract. They're always changing and there's a pause or something gets accelerated, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's us being so multifaceted in being able to like change things up and switch priority as fast as possible. I know like, sometimes my brain loves being instantly having to switch to something else. Like, and you know, especially if you're in a very routine, like if you're doing massive changes on something and it's the print files. And so you're like, there's not much like creativity going on. And I'll get a ping from a good client that's like, I need this. Can you do a design? Like, I got it. I need it to the printer like half later in the day. I'm like, perfect. Yes. Let's go. Right. Like, I'll do anything for those times. But but sometimes it's not that good. It's like,
do you do the thing where like I do this a lot where if there's something I really want to get to, it's like, all right, I'm going to put that, maybe I'll put that last because that's my little treat. I'm like, I get to do an icon set today at some point.
Yeah.
Like, okay, if I get through all my bullshit first and all my emails and like a couple things I don't want to do, then I get to do the fun stuff at the end, like the little dessert of the day. I don't know if that's good or bad, but it works sometimes, a little treat.
And this goes to, this is a message to all those people that are hiring creatives out there. But like, I think sometimes the better relationship and the better just overall vibe you have with a person, that puts them a little higher on the priority list, I think sometimes too. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. 100%.
You know, I think you want to, like, I just had a client out of the blue just text me saying like, I just want you to know I'm always appreciative of how fast you get back and this and whatever. And I was like, it came at the right time. As I was dealing with something else that was a bit of a headache. And like, so you chalk up these, you have your own little like chart on in your mind of how many gold stars each client has achieved.
And a lot of that is, you know? Those retainers, those ones you want to continue working with and it's good work and you like the process. Like, I'm always going to prioritize those if I have to, right? If the gun's in my head, I'm like, shit, I gotta, there's only room in life but for one. Like, okay, I'm going to definitely go with one I want to like sit in there forever with versus like,
yeah.
But hopefully you don't get to that point. Yeah.
No, hopefully you don't get that.
What do you guys think of this? Like, I think a lot of times our first thing to do is, and you're in that state of mind where it's like everything's being asked for at the same time. Like, you think you're multitasking and maybe it feels like you're doing great. You're like, oh, dude, I'm juggling 18 different things at the same time. But like, I have to stop myself and say, like, I don't think there's any such thing as multitasking. Like, you got to do one thing at a time. And do you guys fall into that trap where you're like, you are doing an email and a Slack and a print file and a mood board at the same time?
Yeah. And then, and then it's like 12 noon and then you're going, wait, what the fuck was I
just going to do? And none of them are done yet. It's like, they all took three times as long.
What was I just going to do? So that has been a mistake that I've learned from. And I think that this is really kind of cool to cover. And I would imagine so many people can relate to this. You're trying to do too much at once.
Yeah.
Partition your work. Mm-hmm. Close your fucking email while you're tasking in Illustrator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Close the Dropbox sync and notifications while you're working in InDesign.
Totally.
Yep.
Partition it. It is not easy to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. Because you're just go when you're here. Yeah. And then how many times does our flow get interrupted for inquiries and knocks on the door that we did not take account for?
Yeah.
Well after the end of day yesterday. Like, they just come, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, they're never going to stop. So it is giving yourself, like, give yourself one thing at a time. And also just, I hit the notification, like, snooze, you know, even 30 minutes. Like, okay, I don't want an alert for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever that might be.
Yeah, that's a good call. I love that that is syncable between phone and desktop. That is always so good to remember. And I will turn my phone upside down so I'm not seeing.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
That's always a good one.
Yeah.
Well,
it's ADD pretty much. It's just like, you start on one thing and then it takes you to another room and like,
it is.
And like, oh, that thing's, you know, like, you end up with like, I have a room just full of chaos and I haven't completed anything. Mm-hmm. I just started a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
And then I had like my, you know, my room being my like computer desktop, like there's 30 windows open of all things I was supposed to do.
you're right. Like, turning things off that are going to interrupt you while you're in that crazy state of like juggling. Like, again, I think that's a great thing to do. Like, don't you feel sometimes we're like, we've been so trained to like, because of texting, I think for sure, and now maybe even the Slacks and the Basecamps of the world, is everyone deserves an immediate response from me. Like, hold off. Like, you know, every once in a while, turning those things off, I think, is your only way around it. Like,
totally.
Because that interruption, even though it takes you that 30 seconds, it could mess you up for 15 minutes when it comes to like pure productivity, you know?
Yeah. When it's just so easy to get in the habit of like, when you have all this shit, I look at emails like, or even texts, or just, you know, something that's like, hey, it's not urgent, I need to get to it at some point. But then shit, the whole day went by. I haven't sent that email. I'll get it tomorrow. But then it's like, you wake up with a bunch of hot stuff that you got to tackle. And it's like, okay, I'll get to that. I don't need it now. And then it's like, 4 days. It's like, dude, I'm creating a bad pattern of like, you know, but also I don't want to set the expectation where like, I'm available at any point. Like, you can text or email me and you're going to get something back in the hour. Like, I'd like to get there, but it's just not realistic.
Yeah.
So usually if it's not a hot button item, like, and you're not slacking me and pinging me and something I can like look at really quickly, you know, it might be 2 days to get back to an email sometimes, you know, if it's not urgent. Mm-hmm. I think that should be okay. Like, that should be totally fine.
And as long as you play both of those and you keep a variety of that thing, I don't think anyone will expect any one way or timeline from you. And I feel like maybe having a little bit of that chaos is a good thing, because no one should be like, oh man, he always gets back or she never gets back. Like, you know, like it's and I think they're going to be, I feel lucky that I'm working with most people. Most of my clients are in the same boat. They are wearing a lot of caps and little hats at their place. So I think they're going to understand it if you're truthful and if you're just like, hey, like, a lot of times too, like, I think you brought up something earlier, Mikkel, about that. I just like, it's be patient with me. Like, to me, I've used that so many times and you instantly get back that note like, oh, totally get it. Like, do what you need to do. Get back to me when you can. Mm-hmm. And just that sense of humanity, like, sometimes is the best, right?
Totally.
That's just a very good point. Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Just be honest.
You're totally right.
How, How about saying no? Like, I mean, now you're in this zone.
Yeah,
true. And you're crazy. I guess a good question would be like, when do you say no? And then even if there is a no, are you providing some other opportunity or option in a way? So it's not so much of a hard no to that person that you really want to say yes to.
Yeah. I'll never just say no. I'll be like, yeah, hey, here's my schedule right now. Like, I might have some yeah time in a few weeks, you know, God forbid a month. The month, every time I say like over 2 weeks, it's like, eh.
Yeah.
Rarely do clients like, yep, I can wait that long. It's usually like, yeah, I need it down yep in like a month.
Yeah.
But yeah, always try to find opportunities. Like, yeah, can we reschedule this? I have some blocks, you know, on this point. And then if they say no, I usually have like some go-to local guys or like people that I, good, you know, I collaborate with. Send off names. Like those are that yeah, I love that shit.
Yeah. Do you do the same, Mikkel?
Isn't it amazing to learn how much grace people have with time if you're the one that is honest up front and says something long?
Yeah.
Is beginning mid month next month going to work for you? You don't know until you say something like that.
Yeah,
you're right. Ever. It's not a no. It's just
it's not a no.
It's just a, it's a bookmark.
And sometimes it's bookmark, great, right? Like I've had people like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, oh, that's the best.
But isn't it tricky because you want to impress? If it's a brand new client relationship you're trying to establish and you know that it can further itself with referrals outside of completing a project, or there's an assessment period where you're starting small, and if it goes well, it can lead to really large projects, long standing. You don't want to mess that up, that opportunity. And so even though honesty is always the best policy, do you put yourself at risk? Are they saying, okay, no problem, and then are we going to hang up and they're going to go to plan B?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which, you know, transparency, like that definitely happens. Like I would say most times when people inquire and I say, you know, I'm blocked out until maybe a month and a half from now, I don't know, maybe 1 out of 5 like might be like, okay, yeah, let's talk about that more. Most people, you know, they're looking for something quicker. And that's okay. You know, again, that's when like maybe I'll send them references or like keep me in the back, or like, hey, you know, if this game's ongoing, you need something by that time, I'll check in with you.
Sure.
I'll set myself a reminder to check in with him in like 2 weeks or something like that. Yeah. Sometimes that helps if it's like up in the air.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I would say most people usually go to plan B, which is totally fair. Like I get that 100%, you know.
Yeah.
You just have to be, I guess, okay with that. But if you're too busy to work, you're fine. You're in a good place. If you're too busy to take them on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It does suck, though. I hate it.
It's a toss oftentimes.
Yeah.
I've got to find a way to be a little more like, sometimes I'm very like, things are really busy, whatever. And I think sometimes I don't fire back with the like, with the immediate response right away, because I do want to like stop and review a little, review the situation and the circumstances at the moment without the pressure of answering so quickly, right? Like,
definitely.
A lot of times I'm gonna try that first, because it took a long time to get to that part to even say no. I think it just stemmed from the 2 or 3 times we probably did an episode on that whole topic, because you're like you're in such fear of like, I'm losing something that, you know, like it'll never come back. Like it's just one of these weird things, particularly something new. But I think after time and you go through these things a few times, you can see that, hey, if they wait for you, then it was worth it, right? Like that's the good thing. If they can't wait, it probably wasn't going to be a good situation in the first place, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's, I think, a lot of the meat of it with the like, feeling comfortable saying no is like, it just, as a freelance, it does always, this feels ever fleeting. Like it just, will this be here forever? You know, is the stability here? And it always is. Like you make it work. But it does take like, just like some self-divulging and comfort. Just like saying no, the proof of concept is like, you can say no and still like work just as much.
But also too, I think it's safe to say definitely, even if you don't have a plan B, the no is so important to exercise when you know you're at that point where it's going to just go overflow. Like, yeah, it's too much. Like, and I think in February is when I was able to say it with the most confidence, that it was like, I've thought of every other way around it. There was just no solution. And saying no with really no other kind of like, I might have someone for you, but like not at this moment, like no one I can really recommend and feel 100% trustworthy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it's just going to have to wait. And I think that that comes from hearing it from people that you might try to hire for certain things. Like, you know, I think if you hire a, I hate to say this, but maybe someone that's much more independent, does a specific thing and is booked solid, they're not that, they're going to tell you 100%, like, I can't, like,
yeah, no. 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's good to hear that every once in a while. So you can be like, you know, right now, if I did it, it would probably lessen the quality of everything else I'm currently doing.
It's a good point. Like, sometimes, you know, whether or not it's like a contractor or someone like I want to bring on, like, I've been working with motion people a little bit. And so like,
yeah.
I have some guys like I love using. But it's like, yeah, if they're booked out for a month, like, I can make that work. Like, I'll try to make that work.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And they're booked out because mm-hmm. they're good. You know, sometimes yeah. like there's that level of like, oh shit, like, you know, this person, you know, is top notch. Like, yeah. that's why there's a waiting list, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
When you understand the wait period from your number one preference, do you ever ask for referrals in their in particular area?
Ooh.
From the source directly.
100%.
I would. Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Which is why it's, you know, I like having my own. Not only to just kick work around with like between other people around here, but like it's also like I think it keeps me in the back of the mind. So if there is something else, like they might come to me, right? If I give them a referral and like they kill it, I think we're still like, if you know, there's still potential. I've had work come back to me because they hired a guy for like an illustration, he killed yeah. it, and you know, came back to me for other stuff. And I think it's just like, again, the work matters. So like I want him yeah. to have a, you know, good experience. Right.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And if it's so specific or specialized of a thing, mm-hmm. I think that's what it's going to take for most of us to have to venture out to somebody. Then I'm going to be like, I might need to ask that referral because I came to you because I think you are so perfectly suited for this thing I need. And if you can't do it, like I'm hoping you have somebody that can and there'll be more. Like, honestly, like, you know, I think that's our goal. Every time we don't want to just be one people shows here. Mm-hmm. The idea of like venturing out to other people makes us more well-rounded too. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. Do you think, you know, I think I'm at this place where like, you know, kind of living in this space. And so it's either like, I just totally get comfortable taking a full step back or the other route, which is like tickling my head for like the last few months is like, do I either bring on like a part-time, full-time, maybe mm-hmm. just a project manager. So like, I can
yeah.
take a full step back of like, I don't have to do fucking emails and shit.
Yeah.
Like that kind of is that juggle of like, you know, what do you do when you're at that place where like you're always, maybe not always, but like you're saying no more often than maybe you'd like, or you just find yourself like, am I doing too much in the admin stuff? Like,
yeah.
how do I release myself? Either maybe hiring another designer to help me with smaller stuff.
I know. Or like, it opens the floodgates, man. Cause it's like the
yeah.
reason I think we're all doing this is like, I always say like, I'll hear a friend talk about their agency or all the craziness. And I'm like, I'm keeping it just me. I'm not venturing out. But then you get that moment where you're like, I think I can hire
yeah.
a part-time blank or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's the first step in getting to what we left.
Yeah. I know, man. But like, that's where, and then you tell yourself like, it'll just be like two or three at the most. So like,
yeah,
I have
yeah.
a motion person, me and like yeah. a PM. Like, I could do a lot with that.
Or an intern's perfect. That to me, I
yeah.
think, and I think now is the perfect time for anybody who is like, you know, just firing on all cylinders and life's getting back to normal. Like, look for an intern. I think that's that'd be a great thing. Cause I'm seeing how much people are missing getting like a real good mentor, a person that they're, people are getting jobs and there's just no guidance. It's just like, they throw them in a room. It's like, create this, blah, blah, blah. And no one's really learning, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, and that train of like, of expertise that we've all been a part of where we've been on it for so long learning, now we're trying to give back, like hire an intern. Like, I think that would be one of the best things like to all try, you know?
Yeah.
Pay as much as you can, you know, is that kind of stuff. I think that's a really good alternative. I haven't done it in about 2 years, but like,
it's been a while since, you know, or just under junior level.
Yeah. Cause like I kind of hire people.
Even apprenticeship style.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. That's a better way to put it.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah.
And helps someone that can help at a certain level that they can. And it takes off a little bit from you, even if it's virtual, like we're all used to this now and we all have done this platform. It doesn't even have to be someone who's local. you know?
And you know what's so hard about that is understanding that the patience and the level of time it's going to take to explain from point zero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to where
digitally it's harder. I would say, like, I look at like an agency when you hire someone new or an intern, like they can just shadow and just absorb versus like,
yeah,
here's how I structure emails and here's how I respond to clients and here's how we bracket out our day and block our schedule. Like,
yeah,
it's harder to do that, I guess, if like it's because you also don't want to feel like, hey, here's your to-do list.
No, you don't want to just task people.
Versus hiring someone's like, no, here's your to-do list. Thank you so much.
Exactly. I did come across something that was so cool. Yeah. I want to share it with you guys. And it was an episode of a podcast I just got into. But it was all about optimizing your workspace and your environment based on the kind of jam or the kind of like flow you need to be in at that particular moment. Are you super creative? Do you need to be super creative at this moment? And then an hour later, do you have to change to being, you know, analytical and numbers person, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was called Optimizing the Workspace for Productivity. And the name of the podcast is The Huberman Lab. And this guy, Andrew Huberman, is like this insane PhD. He goes, it was, you listen to this and you'll just be like, oh my God, I want to change everything. Talks about what lighting makes a difference as far as the kind of work you're working on, your eye position to the screen, the sound. Like, he has these playlists on Spotify that he recommends for do you need to be creative and like blue sky, or do you need to be focused and in on one thing and you listen to that? And then the whole idea of sitting and standing. And he has this like really good kind of, you know, situation to kind of help you out on that. But check it out. It's the Huberman Lab, and it's called Optimizing Workspace for Productivity. And I thought one of those things where I listened to it. I was like, I tried almost everything that this guy brought up, particularly the music part, because I'm a big fan of that kind of stuff. Like, and if someone can put that together and say, this is going to help you be creative when you need to, and then like we're just talking about now, we're going to swap over to something totally different for hour two of our day. I need every help I can get. So take a listen. It's really great. Yeah. And
that's cool. Thank you.
Love that kind of stuff. So cool discussion, everybody. Hopefully, let's just all be thankful that if we are in this position, it's a great position to be in, to be juggling so much stuff at the same time, right?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. It's a good
big
problem to
time.
Solve.
Big time.
Perfect. All right, y'all. Well, thanks so much for joining us again. And please share this one if there's anybody out there that you know.
That was good roundtable stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you have any like secrets, just DM me. I want to know what works. I'm still trying to figure most of it out.
Yeah, let us know as well. Until the next time, guys, we'll see you all later. Bye.